Check, 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 check. Is this on?
Yeah.
Can you just a little bit?
Oh, my love's for sure. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hand and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for a king. For a heart singing a hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move. With my arms worship you. So I throw up my hand and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, nothing else fit for a king. Therefore, a heart singing a hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hand, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well, good morning. Woo. Welcome to Hope of the Beach Church. My name is Pastor Jason, and I'm glad you guys are here with us. Welcome, welcome. Glad you're here in this great, crazy Florida weather that we have, right? We can't escape the north. It follows. But welcome. This says we gather together here. It's no judgment zone. It's a place to say it's not okay. It's a place of grace, a place that we just want to help you connect to Jesus, because Jesus is the one who awakens our hearts and does the great work. We're delighted you're here with us. We want to recognize your presence with us. In your worship folder is a little connection card like this. If you're online, man, we'd love to be able to, for you to connect in the feed. Welcome to you too. You can also go to hopeofthebeach.com and download the worship folder so you can follow along with us. And be so kind for you guys to fill out the front to recognize your presence with us here. We are in the final part of this series of Grounded in Grace, and today we're going to talk about there's more. There's more. There's even greater things ahead in store that Jesus tells disciples and he tells us. So let's begin with prayer. God, you come and you came to bring life abundantly, to go beyond what we can even think or imagine, because it's with you who all things are possible. And so, Father, we lean into you in your presence here. We invite you. We recognize you here and just ask that you would continue to speak to us, to shape us and mold us to be your church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I believe there is one salvation, one doorway that leads to life, one redemption, one confession. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe in the crucifixion, by his blood I have been set free. I believe in the resurrection, hallelujah, his life is death's defeat.
All praise to God.
All praise to God the Father, all praise to Christ the Son, all praise to the Holy Spirit, our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be, in Jesus' mighty name I believe. I believe in the hope of heaven, he's preparing a place for me. Far beyond what hearts imagine, ears have heard or eyes have seen. I believe the day is coming, he's returning to claim his bride. Light the altar, keep it burning, see the Lamb who rose a roaring lion.
All praise to God.
All praise to God the Father, all praise to Christ the Son, all praise to the Holy Spirit, our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be, in Jesus' mighty name I believe. No, I'll never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could I ever walk away from the one who saved my life? All praise to God the Father, all praise to Christ the Son, all praise to the Holy Spirit, our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be, in Jesus' mighty name I believe. In Jesus' mighty name I believe.
Thank you, Lord. God, we just thank you this morning for your mighty name. Your mighty name that heals all, that saves all. There's none greater, Lord. And we thank you that when you call us somewhere, God, you don't call us there to figure it out on our own or to fail, Lord. But you call us there with a purpose.
You call me out upon the water, The great unknown, where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name. And keep my eyes above the wave. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours.
Your grace abounds. Your grace abounds in deep as water. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, oh, you never fail. Lord, you won't stop now. And I will call. And I will call upon your name. And keep my eyes above the wave. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine. Oh, 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 oh. You are mine. Trust is without. So some of y'all have heard this over and over again from me, but this song is very near to my heart. It was kind of an anthem that God was using in our family when we moved here 10 years ago. And we had so many things going on. And it's like each time I do this song, I'm reminded of His goodness. And I had this picture on my phone. It was a computer generated. It was like this 30-foot wave on the beach. And this guy's walking and he's about to get, you know, hit by this wave. And I'm like, this is what it feels like trying to move to Florida right now. with four kids and one of them, three kids and a 9-month pregnant wife. So I do have one Floridian in my family, but, and one of them with a disability. And I pulled over to rest stop and I was looking at my phone. I'm just going to keep talking, even if I cry. And I was like, God, I can't do this. And I said, this wave, it's too much. And He said, you're looking at it wrong. He said, the surfboard is your problems, and the wave is my grace. And when we visited here, we went to Hope on the beach. And we were still wrestling. This was before God said that. And our son, who had cerebral palsy, for the first time, I saw him use his left hand. And it was right before communion, and he reached in and he grabbed a scoop of sand, and I grabbed my wife. I said, look. I was like, this place is magic. And then I moved here, and I'm like, God, I hate it here. So I told her this morning, I'm like, well, I'm playing Oceans again. We'll see how it goes. Just God's grace. So good. And we've been here 10 years and God's been faithful every step of the way. He's gotten me through addiction and it's good. So we're going to sing that bridge one more time. Spirit lead.
Trust is without borders. Let me walk upon these waters, and wherever you would call me, take me deeper than my feet would ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name. And keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans arise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine. I am yours, and you are mine.
And that is our prayer, Lord, that amazing grace of yours would be set more and more in our hearts, that it gives us that strength, that certainty to step out, to trust, to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I invite you to open up your outline and follow along. There was a fisherman, and he bought a very sturdy boat with a strong motor. And he had watched others head out to pass into the deep waters and where the fish are abundant. And he believed he could do it too. He thought, this is what I'm going to do. At last, this is what I get to do and am called to do. On his first morning, he started the engines and he started to head out of the pass. But as he was stepping out of the pass, he saw the waves were growing taller and the wind was a little stronger. And so he turned around. He said, maybe tomorrow, he said to himself. And after a while, he stopped starting the engines at all. He stayed in the harbor and he would cast a net, and yeah, he caught a few fish that kept him going, but he never left the harbor. And over time, he began to say things like, this is all I was meant for, or deep water is for the other people. Years passed, the boat age, not from wear, but not from being used. And one day, a young fisherman asked him, does that boat ever leave the harbor? And a man replied, said quietly, it could. I just don't think it's built for that anymore. But the truth was harder. The boat hadn't changed. The water hadn't changed. Only the man's belief has changed. He didn't fail because the sea was too tough or too rough. He settled because he stopped believing what he was made for more. Settling often looks like wisdom, but it's actually, most of the time, is fear wearing sensible clothes. We don't always stop because we can't. We stop because we no longer believe. See, God often calls us not just to safety, but to trust Him for greater things than we could ever achieve on our own. And so today's word is here to encourage us that we are grounded in His grace and we can trust Him for greater things. So if you want to look, we're in John chapter 1, verse 43. And so the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip, and he said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip had found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him who Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw that Nathanael's coming towards him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So number one in your notes here, God never stops pursuing you. Verse 43 says, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. It was an intentional decision. It was a purposeful decision. And in that decision, what is he doing? He is seeking out his disciples. And he finds Philip. And he picked him. He chose him. He didn't make a mistake. He didn't accidentally just run into Philip. This was an intentional choice to come to Philip. And the same is true with you. God decided before the foundation of the earth, he chose you. In fact, the very heart of the gospel were reminded, and Jesus said in Luke 10, in your notes, 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Jesus is seeking us, he's still seeking us, and he's coming to us when we are fully lost, like we don't know him at all, or we're just lost on our wayward ways, or we're just staying lost, staying back at the harbor, and he is continuing to seek us, to pursue us, and he's still coming with the same simple invitation. Come, follow me. There's no sales pitch. There's no job description. Jesus doesn't try to prove himself. He just says, come, follow me. And we see Philip does immediately. And that should bother us a little, because it doesn't sound very reasonable. It doesn't sound really practical. It doesn't sound like that's a very wise decision. After all, there's no evidence that Philip had a miracle that happened that's not recorded. Jesus hasn't explained in detail who he is. But that's the very point. Discipleship does not begin with understanding. It does not begin with great knowledge. It begins with trust. Jesus did not say, understand me. Jesus said, follow me. He doesn't say, figure me out. He says, just follow me. And this is where the law of the word really confronts us, because we often follow Jesus after we understand enough. After, man, maybe I know enough, and then what happens is the line of knowing keeps getting pushed further and further away. And say, I'm going to, I just need to understand enough. I just need to get my head around it. I need to get my heart around it. And we just keep pushing it out. Or we say, I'll follow you as soon as my world settles down. I'll follow you when I feel more confident. I'll follow you when I feel that I'm more skilled, when I'm ready. But here's the point. Grace doesn't wait till you're ready. Grace creates readiness. Philip follows because Jesus calls. The power is not in Philip's decision. The power is in the words of Jesus, Jesus calling. And that same power of his word is here today, and he calls us today. Not because you have it all together. Not because you're the most talented and gifted. Not because you're strong enough, smart enough. It's because Christ speaks to you. He seeks you, he calls you, and in his word, he creates faith. See, here's a point you always need to remember. Jesus never calls you to something he doesn't give you what you need to follow. He calls us to follow and gives us faith to follow. That is grace. See, A, if you want to add a full sentence here, Jesus' calling is grounded in grace. This is not law. He didn't say, you should follow me because I'm the king, I'm the savior. No, it's grounded in grace. Paul writes in Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. It's a gift in Christ. The righteousness from God depends on faith. This is why God calls us and why God commanded the church to baptize infants. Why? Because God is initiating. He's giving faith. He's giving faith to this little infant that's full of sin. You know, it's beautiful, but it's sin. It's inherited sin. And before it can say anything, do anything, that would say, oh, you did a work to please God, to deserve his favor, to deserve his grace. Before it can do anything and respond, God says, I choose you. I give you my grace. You are mine. And I want to give you all the gifts of heaven, the Holy Spirit, so you can know and trust me and follow me. Verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus the Nazarene, son of Joseph. They have found him. See, number two, they were seeking the Son of God. And he was found. They were seeking, he was found. Notice an interesting observation in this story, this word found. Because Jesus said he found them. So who found who first? Who's on first? Right? Jesus is. I mean, that's consistent with all scripture, that God is the one who finds us. We're the ones who are lost, who are along her ways. But yet Philip says, we found him. Why? Because it's interesting, even though God is the main actor in our faith, in our life, when we tell our stories, we tend to tell them from our perspective. And Peter is saying, look, we have been seeking, we have been looking, we have been longing for this, and we found it. And this is a little bit important here for a theological reason, but also because how you understand the beginning of your journey determines how you write the rest of the story. See, if you write the beginning of the story and say, look, this is all my decision. I found God. I'm the one that did this. By my power and ability, my understanding, then what does it do? It puts the burden on following Jesus, and everything else that comes after that, every work that comes at it, comes on you. But we understand that our story begins that he found us out of his grace. The burden is not on us. It's on Jesus. That he's the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the one. See, we got to remember this little key word, that the work of the Lord is not out of grace. It's for grace. Not out of grace, it's for grace. Because if we think it's out of grace that we have been called, or we are there believers, and then that grace then can run out. It can be depleted. And that grace goes from, oh, I was called out of grace, but now it matures, and now it starts to transform into responsibility. It's no longer grace. It becomes responsibility that I must carry to keep myself in grace. I must have that obedience, or if I mess up, I lose the grace runs out. No, we were called for grace. We were called for his purpose given us. Is out of grace, for faith is a gift of God, not by any of our works, but a gift of grace, a gift from him. And so it's for that grace, that God's purpose, that we forgive, we love, we serve in our vocations. Maybe a way to think about it is this way. Use a water analogy. Grace is the water. You are the channel. The channel does not create the water. The channel does not own the water. But grace, the water, runs through the channel. And through the channel, it brings what's needed for life. It brings life. That's the way God has called you to be, this channel of his grace. So the question I ask you is, what are you seeking? See, because what are you seeking, you will find. You will find what you seek. Have you noticed that? It's funny how maybe you see a car, you've ever had this, you see a car, you want to buy a car, and you're like, I haven't seen this car anywhere. But then you see it kind of catches your eye, and then like the rest of the week, you keep seeing the same car all over the place. Have you ever that happened? Or maybe you saw this great color of a car. Oh, I've never seen that color before. And then all of a sudden, you see the color all over the place the rest of the week. It's because now your brain is seeking it unconsciously. You're seeking it, and it appears. It happens with us with earthly things, but God promises us that when we seek him, we will find him. He says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it'll be opened to you. John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters me, seeks me, he'll be saved, he'll go in, he'll find pasture in and out. God is a God of revelation. B, divine revelation is promised for those who seek him. For those who seek him, he promises to reveal himself to. And we found this numerous times. But especially, you know, one of our major times of seeking, I mean, it was like a whole year when we felt the Lord, we planned a church in Michigan, was calling us out of Michigan, and we didn't know where or what, but we just knew he was calling us. So we stepped out of a church we loved with people we loved, but that's what God was calling us. But then we were in a whole year of seeking. There was calls and opportunities, but never like God was saying, this is where I want you to go. We didn't see that. And then like a year later, when it's getting to like the ninth inning, I got a 12th grader, ninth grader, sixth grader, and all of a sudden my wife says, hey, we're going to have a dream. I mean, she has a dream. She says, we're going to have church on the beach. I'm like, that's a great idea. We all want to move to Florida out of Michigan and be on the beach. That sounds great. And well, we were beach people. So then literally the next day, this little group of four people call and say, hey, are you open to for a call? And by the way, we just want to ask you a question before we interview. Are you okay we have a beach service? I think so. I didn't tell them anything. Interview the next day. That was Wednesday. Flew down Thursday. And then we were here for the weekend. They issued the call. We prayed over it on Monday. And then, you know, Tuesday we fly back home, pack up in 24 hours, drive back down because school starts next week. Because God gave a call. We were seeking. And he showed himself to us. So Philip lets Nathaniel, I skipped C. Seeking is essential for growing in grace. Seeking is essential for growing in grace. So here's the critical question. For what you're seeking, is it worth dropping everything for? Because we're seeking, what we seek, we actually believe will make life better. Is what you're seeking truly that valuable and precious and worth it? Philip sees Jesus loses everything. Philip lets Nathanael know, here's the one, you need to follow him. And what's Nathanael's response, 46? He said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That's a great response, right? So number three, he quickly dismisses God's invitation. He quickly dismisses it. He's a skeptic. Look, I don't trust you. I don't trust Jesus. I don't trust what you're talking about. He's filled with all these doubts. No way. He's prejudiced. This is a terrible town. There's no Messiah coming from this town. No way. It's like, he's not coming from Panama City. No way. No, I'm just kidding. Boy, that was a bad joke. I was just pushing. Come on. Let me lighten up. Right? But like he maybe he has some experience, I don't know, his pride or arrogance, but he's basically saying, no, I know better. You have to prove it to me. Have you had that experience? Maybe you're sharing the faith with someone or you're inviting them to church and they just dismiss you. They just turn and don't respond or say no right away. There's no way. I wouldn't go to that beach church or that Lutheran church. No. I've had it several times. And probably one of the funniest is that we do treasure hunts once in a while. And a treasure hunt is a time where you pray and you ask God to lead you to a person and that needs to hear that they're God's treasure. And so we were down in Destin Commons. We were praying. We had these clues put together that lead to the treasure. We followed the clues, led us to this lady in the pet store. And so we would typically go up to someone and say, look, we've been praying. God led us with these prompts that point to you. And we just want you to know you're God's treasure. He loves you. And there's anything we can pray for you. And so after like a 45-minute hunt, I finally got the lady's attention. I showed her and I told her that. And she literally just looked and she goes, I'm Lutheran. I'm good. Psh, bong. She was gone. I didn't get to say anything. She ran away. She just pushed us aside. But people resist. People reject. But notice the beautiful thing here. Jesus is not offended. Jesus does disqualify Nathan. He says, he doubts, he's done. Philip doesn't argue. Philip doesn't fight, try to convince him. He doesn't shame him. What does he do instead? He simply says, come and see. Come and see. In other words, number four, you don't know until you do it. Or you try it, you meet them, you don't know. You just got to try for yourself. Come and see. I think this is essential because we live in a world where people's minds are so quickly made up. They saw it on social media or been informed, and we feel like we know everything, and we often run to quick judgments and just cut conversations off. And so when that happens, when we're giving an invitation and people just cut us off, the simple response is, let me not argue. Let me try to persuade you. Let me tell you how great it is and keep telling us. You just say, look, you just need to come to see. You come to see. Then make up your mind. It's rather freeing, isn't it? See, what Philip is showing us is that the burden of a gracious invitation and what happens after that invitation is not on us. It's not on us personally. It's not on us in the church. It is actually on Jesus. We are there to just extend a gracious invitation. It's not because people respond to grace by faith. It's not something we have to coerce and pressure. It's not something we have to argue. No, we just pass the invitation on. So what does that mean for us is that we do not have to have all the answers for somebody. We don't have to try to have the burden to convince them to understand everything. We don't have the burden to try to impress them. And say, this is this impressive, cool place. You got to come. No, it's a beach, man. No, no, that's on God. You just got to say, look, this is a gracious invitation. Come and see. When my last church, we had a younger guy, and he had a friend, and he's like, man, my friend is hurt. He's far from the church and God, but he does have questions. He's kind of seeking. He'd like to meet with you. So we planned a lunch, and when we sat down for lunch, he just started cussing. And then he started to say things about the church, about God, and about me, and it was incredibly uncomfortable. Good thing the food was good. But I just sat there and listened. I didn't try to change his mind. I didn't argue with him. I just listened. And about after a half an hour of this or more, he finally started to ask some questions. And so afterwards, next day I called him up and I, not the guy, the member. And I said, okay, how'd it go? You follow up with him? He said, yeah. And I said, did I answer his questions? Did I help him out? And he says, the best thing you did was to put grace on him and sit there while he just spewed out. That touched his heart. He doesn't know what to do with that. See, we got grace. God is extending grace to them. He is seeking them. Really, the burden is on them, not us. It's their problem. You got grace. What are you going to do with it? You're going to abuse it? You're going to shuck it away? It's on you. It's not me. I'm good. Because I'm coming here out of grace. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, you were under the fig tree and I saw you. See, number five, God awakens, Jesus awakens Nathanael's heart, and it's personal. And he's going to respond in faith immediately. Jesus knows him before Nathanael knows Jesus. God knows you before you know him. He's knitted you in the womb. He knows you. But here, Jesus makes a point. I saw you under the fig tree. Now, the fig tree is very symbolic of the faith in the Israel nation, a Jewish faith, and all through history. And so this fig tree is not a real fig tree. It's actually more of a house where he was praying, where he was seeking God. God saw him in his moment of vulnerability in front of God. And that's why Jesus pointed out, I know you, Nathaniel. I know you in your weak moments. I know your unpolished version. I know not this religious version. I know the honest one, one without deceit. And this is where grace becomes deeply personal. Jesus does not call us because he's impressed with us. He calls us because he knows us fully, completely, truthfully. He knows our doubts. He knows our fears. He knows our sins. And he still calls and says, follow me. This is not tolerance. This is mercy. The law exposes us here that we are not known and loved because we deserve it. But the gospel proclaims we are known and loved in spite of it. And what's his response? A, he professes his faith. The Philistine answer, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. That grace now, that great gracious invitation has awakened his heart into this incredible profession. In other words, into a belief. This is the one that we've been seeking. This is the one the scripture has promised. In this guy from Galilee, this no little place, Nazareth. No way. There's belief. Notice this, his heart has been totally changed. His mind has been changed. And that belief leads to action. B, he drops everything and follows. And out of that action, out of that grace and that response, Jesus goes ahead and says, Jesus promises God moments ahead. In fact, what does he promise? Greater things are going to happen. He promised disciples they will do greater things. Verse 51. And he said to him, truly, truly. Again, when that's repeated, it's overemphasized. This is certainly true. I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending, descending on the Son of Man. Jesus referring to Jacob's ladder. Remember, we talked about that in Genesis a few months ago. But now Jesus is saying he is the ladder. He is the connection between heaven and earth. And he's meeting places between God and sinners. And he's the one through whom God comes down to us. And the greater work that we will do is not success, it's not comfort, it's not certainty. The greater work, the greater thing is Christ himself. See, to follow Jesus is to see more of who he is. More of his mercy, more of his forgiveness, more of his faithfulness. Not at once, but over time as it unfolds. And the great work that you and I get to do is all the work that Christ did on earth and on the cross. Now we get to carry it to the world. And have more and more people be saved than ever were in Jesus' time. That's the great work. Jesus says in John 14, 12, our memory verse, let's read together. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will be done, because I am going to the Father. So Jesus is saying, whoever believes, you believe this is true? You believe that Jesus has called you? You believe that Jesus has died for you, forgiven your sins, that he's brought heaven to earth, heaven to you, that you are his, and he's called you out of grace with a purpose for grace? I mean, purpose in grace for grace? And he has greater work ahead than he ever imagined? If you believe that but don't experience, then B is the question. Probably we do not experience because we do not let go and follow. We don't trust. We don't trust the calling that God's put on our life. We trust more the voice that's in our head or the voices around us that tell us who we are. And so we stay at the dock and we never go to the deep water that we are meant to go. And we settle for less. Because that's, after all, that's what everybody does. And we all become average. We do good, but we miss the greater things. Jesus tells a parable, the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 13, 44 is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and covered up. Then the joy he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. I mean, the joy of the gospel changes life to this is the greatest possession. This is the great treasure. This is what I've longed for and sought, and now it's mine. He let everything go for it. So 7, how are you seeking God daily? How are you seeking him daily? Are you seeking him daily? For if you seek him, you'll find it. And 8, where is your calling? Where is he calling you to? And perhaps you might need to slow down enough to say, you know, what is it that God has said that I may be dismissed quickly? What sounded too foolish? What sounded like it was impossible? And I just doubt it. Paul writes, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. So I have these blocks up here for a reason. I just wasn't playing with grandkids earlier. But these blocks, I think often, they give a picture of us. Because I think a lot of times God calls us to great things, but we look around and we see great things around us, and then we look at us and we go, there's no way. We love to do great things that God calls us to, but we keep looking at ourselves and say, there's just no way. We can't do it. And we see others doing great things, but we say, oh, they have an advantage, and man, they just have more resources, they're bigger, and they're more talented, and we start to think, well, you know, I'm just a 2-block person, and they're a, whatever, 8-block person. They were given more, and that's why they're bigger and greater, and we are just meant to be small. And we settle to be small, and we give up on the greatness that God wants to do in us. See, the difference between here and here is not that they're more talented, more gifted, more favored by God. The difference is they believed. And they believed, and they pursued and sought God. And as they were, God kept providing. Because as we seek him, he is found. And God is a God who builds us, and he kept building them. And over time, they became great. Not all at once, over time. So the question I have for you, number 9, what do you need to drop to follow Jesus more? What do you need to drop? What are you carrying? What are you doing? What are you worried about? What are you holding on to that you need to drop to carry him more? This has kind of been a journey for me, this question. And it was posed to me like if there's a spear, right? And a spear is a tip and a long thing. And you know, the most important part is the tip, right? It's got to be sharp. It's got to be solid. I mean, this is important, but this is the most important. And the question was posed to be, what's your tip? Are you in your life, this spear is your life, what are you working on most? Are you working at the tip, or are you working on the rest of the spear? See, God's called you to be the tip, and Satan doesn't want you to be the tip. So Satan, he might get you to try to sin, but if he can't get you to sin, what he'll do is he'll keep you very busy and distracted on the rest of the spear, and you'll never be the tip that's going to do the breakthrough, that's going to make the impact. And see, we need to drop the busyness. We need to drop all the other stuff that's not in our call. It needs to be done. Yes, it might even be important, but it's not the tip. See, what do you need to drop to be at the very tip of your calling? Because that's where your greatness is at. That he's designing you and given to you. You're grounded in grace. And you're called to greater things in his kingdom. Let's pray. Well, Lord, it is a change in a lot of beliefs. And that's not something we can manufacture, but that's just sitting at your feet to realize that you chose us, you gifted us, and you believe in us. And you desire to do great things in us. And yet we're tied to the dock, afraid to leave. Lord, we see us, or we see the waves, because our eyes are off of you. And so, Lord, we're reminded of your incredible grace again, and the gracious calling and the privilege it is to be yours and to follow you. And so, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness again, that you give us a new start, and a new start that we can start stepping out. And maybe it is a call for a big leap, like you move. or maybe it's just small things over time you reveal to us. But what we're going to do is take a posture of seeking. What we're going to do is take a posture of humbleness. And take a posture of grace. We're not going to strive at it. We're just going to lean and rest in it. And let you show us. Because you're gracious. And you want to show us. And so we'll slow down. We'll seek to be that tip that you can use. That you can complete your good work in us. Father, we call upon your name in a prayer that you taught us of how to seek you and to come under your feet together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. One of the ways that we live out our faith, we trust God, is in our offerings and our tithes. It's one of the ways that we get to see God show up in our lives, and we trust him. And we say, God, look, we're going to trust your word and start to lean into that more. And by we lean into you more and seek you and trust you, you reveal us more. And so your worship folder, there's an offering envelope, or you can go online to hopeonthebeach.com or do the text to give, whatever that God leads you in those venues for your worship. Also in your worship folder, there is a connection card, and it's a green card. If you can turn to the back and share what you're celebrating today. We do have this week coming up, we have partnership class. That's our chance to get to know a little bit more, step into hope, lean into what's going on, who we are, what we're about, and what God is doing, and how you can be part of it and serving. We also have life groups. They're going to be kicking off next week. And we're going to start this book of Hosea, and it's God's covenant love we're going to learn about. And what does that mean? And how did God demonstrate his love? And what did that do for the church of Israel? What does it mean for us today? And this is the book that you'll get as you sign up for it as we go through that. So those life groups are here on the card. You can use this card, sign up for a group. If you're not sure, you just can just say, hey, I'm just interested in a group, and Steve will call you and help you find a group that works for you if you have questions about different groups. Ladies, you got dinner coming up. I believe that's this Monday already. And then also the new event coming in, the details in your bulletin. But the ladies got together, the planning committee, and they decided not to do a chili cook-off. So they were titling it at first the Unchili Trivia Night, but or something like that. But anyway, they changed it, thankfully. The details you know, but if you want to plan for a great fellowship time, it's there. It's a trivia night for dummies. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be at the 98 Distillery, and they'll have creative crepes there. It'll be a great night, but we just thought it was a lot. It was getting to be a lot of different push-ups to do all the chili, and you know, we just need a really good fellowship time, and we want to focus on relationships. And so we invite you to come, get connected, have fun together, and let's laugh together, right? So with that, as we continue our worship, Elster's going to come along with the bucket. You can put your offering, your connection card, your life group card in the bucket.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
And we can sing that song, not because, again, we made a decision, but we just are responding to the grace in us. That God, we choose to follow you. And here God again comes to assure us of his grace, that we truly can trust him and let go. For tonight, our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed. He took bread.